Today, I got to feel what it was like to be protected by my dad. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And a happy Lunar New Year to you all. Today, to celebrate the start of the Year of the Horse, I am here to review Ride On, starring Jackie Chan and a horse. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. I am honored by the fact that I have gotten to celebrate two Lunar New Years with you all now. I feel like every episode so far here in February has been to celebrate something. This is 2 years in a row now that I've had the pleasure of celebrating Lunar New Year with you all, and 2 years in a row of being able to do that by reviewing Jackie Chan films. Last year, to start the Year of the Snake, I reviewed Snake and the Eagle's Shadow, and this year, as we begin the Year of the Horse, I'm here to talk about, once again, Ride On, starring Jackie Chan and a horse. There is a horse in this movie, folks. I hope that is clearly communicated. So let's get right down to the basics here. If you go on to any of the big review platforms, Rotten Tomatoes, IMDb, Letterboxd, what you will see for Ride On is that this is like a mid-leaning towards good kind of film, like a 60% on some of those platforms, just kind of like, it's fine, it's good, it's watchable, that kind of a thing. I personally think that that does this movie a major disservice. This movie is like slipping into a warm bath. And it's not because this is like some new revolutionary, groundbreaking, you know, kind of thing whatsoever. No, this is a movie for the 90s Jackie Chan fan. That is what this movie is. This is a love letter to a very specific era, arguably the height of Jackie Chan's career, where a lot of us, like millennials, kind of got introduced to him and introduced to martial art movies, kung fu movies in general, was through that decade. This movie is an ode to that time period, and it is just fantastic for it. It is so good. I cannot recommend this movie enough. Again, it's not revolutionary. It's not new or unique. I mean, other than Jackie Chan's hanging out with a horse the entire time, there's nothing like necessarily like different about the movie, but it is so comfy, so familiar. I could totally see this movie being like a comfort watch for somebody, maybe even for me myself. Like, I could totally see this movie becoming like a comfy watch, because not only is it just like this amazing ode to 90s Jackie Chan, it's, you know, with that then becomes it's funny, it's got, you know, all the things, you know, fight sequence wise that you would want from that kind of a Jackie Chan movie. But there's just so much like heart that goes into this movie, and such a like, just like a heart. It's a heartwarming story about, like, I don't even know how to like put it into a simple phrase, which is not a good thing when your whole gig is reviewing stuff. But like, it's a heartwarming story about reconciling broken relationships, becoming a better person, and reconciling with your own like past mistakes and becoming like a better person on the back end of it. So this is one of those times where it's like, don't worry about what the review sites are saying. This is a very good movie. You need to watch Ride On. So, as I said, this is kind of a, it's not kind of, it is an ode to 90s Jackie Chan. And plot-wise, it's actually kind of meta as well, because in this movie, Jackie Chan plays a washed-up stuntman who has also a stunt horse named Red Hair. Jackie Chan is out of work. It's hard for him to get stunt gigs right now. So he's kind of doing like street performance kind of stuff in like a high traffic touristy kind of area just to try and help make ends meet. This part I'm not going to explain very well because I don't know how all of this works. I need to get a lawyer on the show to explain all of this part to me. But basically, the Jackie Chan's friend gave him this horse. His friend's company went bankrupt and was bought out by another company. And now this company is collecting all of the ownership rights to various things that the previous company owned. And apparently one of those things is this horse. Apparently the company is claiming rights to this horse, even though Jackie Chan is like, no, he gave me this horse. And also this horse is like a child to me now. So in order to try and keep the horse, he reaches out to his estranged daughter, who is at lawyer school. That's not what you call that thing. Is at lawyer school. What do you call that thing? She's in school to become a lawyer. And so he reaches out to his estranged daughter for help. She begrudgingly connects him with her boyfriend, who is an established lawyer, a young established lawyer, to try and figure out a legal reason for Jackie Chan to still own his horse. Along the way, there is also Jackie Chan owes some debts. It's not really clear exactly who he owes, but there is some debts that he owes, and because of it, there's kind of like this petty street thugs kind of group who's like continuously showing up to try and like shake him down for the money that he owes. And that is essentially the plot of this movie. Jackie Chan trying to maintain ownership of his horse, still trying to get acting gigs so he can pay off this debt. He eventually does get a cameo in a bigger film thanks to one of his friends, and that kind of helps spark new interest in him and new roles keep coming in. His daughter kind of steps into this position of being like his agent, negotiating contracts and stunts. And by being in closer proximity to her dad, she begins to heal. Basically, Jackie Chan's character and his wife in the movie, they get a divorce early on in the daughter's life. And as a result of this divorce, she hates him. She wants nothing to do with him, no matter throughout her childhood what he tries to do to try and maintain a relationship, show that he loves her. Like, she wants nothing to do with him. But now as an adult, she's kind of going through this process of like healing and forgiving her father. But with that, it's not just like a one-sided healing, which I feel like happens a lot in movies, or also happens a lot in real life as well, where you see this like character who's been hurt by the hero, the father figure of the movie, and like goes on a journey throughout the story to eventually like forgive and accept the father for who they are, because in the context of the film, like the way that the hero is, the father character is, well, that's just for everybody's better. That's for the greater good that they are this way. You need to forgive and heal because they're actually the way they are for greater reasons. That's not the case here with this movie. She calls him out on that and points out the fact that he is still, even as their relationship is healing, he is still very selfish and very inward thinking in a very unique way. I'll talk about that here in a second. It's not like a selfishness that you would maybe normally think of. But Jackie Chan's character then goes on this like healing journey of understanding, like, just because he thought he was doing what was best for her, for himself, for the family, for the fans, all this kind of stuff. Ultimately, it was really just for him and for the industry. Within the context of this movie, it is explained that stuntmen do what they do and live the life that they do they do what they do on this idea of just continuously sacrificing themselves for what needs to be done in the context of the movie, to make the fans happy, to make money, to take care of people around them. When in reality, what is most important is that they take care of themselves, because if you take care of yourself, you're actually able to then take care of others around you in a way that is healthy and beneficial, that you don't just need to be working 24/7. That's like something about Jackie Chan's character early on, is that he's like working 24/7 and it puts a strain on his relationships. He finally realizes this in this movie, and that helps him to be able to, basically how he realizes this is that the daughter points out that now that they're getting more and more stunt gigs, he is doing more and more dangerous ones, which is bad for him, but also bad for his horse, Red Hair. So she like calls him out on this of like, you're being selfish, you're putting yourself first, and it's going to continue to harm yourself, harm our relationship, and harm your relationship with your horse that you care so much about. And it finally clicks while he's doing like this big stunt of like, oh, now I get it. Now I understand that there is a place for saying no. So that way I am putting my own health and the health of those around me first. So that way we're all not walking away crippled in different ways, in Jackie Chan's case, like physically, and in the case of the relationships around him, emotionally, getting like crippled in the process. So all of that just has so much, just brings so much heart to this story. It is such a heartwarming film as I was watching this. That was a lot of like the comfort acts aspect of it, but it's also such a comforting movie, as I said, because it's just so 90s Jackie Chan. It's not just like this meta thing of, oh, he's a stuntman, wink wink. No, they actually like show footage from his character's career, and it's his big stunts from Jackie Chan's First Strike, from Mr. Nice Guy, from Rumble in the Bronx, from Drunken Master. Like, it's his actual stunts, but being portrayed as like, oh, look at what this great stuntman character did. And I loved that. I'm a sucker for meta, folks. Like, I loved that so much. And it's also so 90s Jackie Chan because of the fight sequences as well. You have, there's a lot of fight sequences in this movie. There's a lot of stunts, but it's all within the context of movies that he is shooting. For the actual, quote, real world parts of the movie, these petty thugs who keep showing up to try and shake him down for this money that he owes, that is where, like, actual, quote, actual fight scenes take place. And it is just everything you would want it to be. There's ladders, there's jackets, there's cool parkour to get around railings and chairs. He's throwing chairs everywhere. He's getting hurt while trying to, you know, protect himself and rubbing his head. And, you know, he's doing, he's taking like, there's like a pot in one scene that him and another guy he's fighting with, not as an opponent, but as somebody who's fighting alongside of him. They have like this pot that they keep taking from each other to like fight each other. It's so funny. It is a very funny movie. It is, the comedy throughout the movie is so well written. Even though he has this estranged relationship with his daughter, again, her boyfriend is a lawyer, and when he initially gets introduced, Jackie Chan snaps right into the I'm the overly protective father who's going to stare at you hard and give you really hard questions, and ultimately wants to take him on as his disciple to teach him kung fu, and he's like terrible at it. He's terrified of the horse. Like, it's just, it is just such a funny movie. And this might be a weird comparison, but this movie does have a little bit of like a Disney movie-esque-ness to it, because the horse is a little bit more cognitive, has a little bit more intelligence than you would normally anticipate from an animal. It's not like the horse is out talking or anything like that, but it's almost like Maximus or Pascal in Tangled or Sven in the Frozen movies, where it's like, this is almost a person who just can't talk. It has, the horse has thoughts and feelings and emotions and is doing its own gags and laughing about it throughout the movie. Like, it's not cheesy. It's not weird watching Jackie Chan interact with a horse the entire time. It is so good. My only complaint about this movie, if there was one thing that I could say was just not my favorite, was the fact that this movie was like a little over 2 hours long, which did make it feel a little long. It was a lot of like the drama aspect of the film, the healing of the relationship between him and the daughter that kind of dragged it out a little bit. Also, the like, the horse is going to be taken back by this new company, like, kind of starts the movie and then just like shows back up like within the last like 30 minutes of the movie. So there's a whole middle section that's like something else, which is basically him doing all these new stunts and getting new gigs. By the way, the one that like helps pique interest in studios again, guess what he's dressed as? That's right, he's rocking the Kato outfit. He's got the black suit, the hat, and the domino mask, because every major Hong Kong or Chinese action hero has to wear the Kato costume at some point in their career. Donnie Yen's done it. Jet Li's done it a couple times, I think, actually. Pretty sure this may be the first time I've seen Jackie Chan pull it off. Took him long enough. With all of the like meta-ness of this movie and it just kind of being a return to form for Jackie Chan, to back to like the 90s style films he was making, it almost feels like a retirement film. Like, that's it, I'm all done. This movie came out in 2023, and obviously he has done some movies since then, so that's definitely not the case. But this, there were, especially during the credit roll, there was just kind of this like crescendo, basically, of like, that's it, that is the career of Jackie Chan in a nutshell. And I loved it. Big fan of this movie. Hopefully that is clearly communicated by the end of this review. If you want to check this movie out, I watched it on Tubi. I also saw that it is available on Haya, which is a martial art movie streaming platform, a kung fu movie streaming platform that I should probably just get at some point. That's going to make this show so much easier. Or they can sponsor me. There's that too. Haya, tag Haya in the comments for me, folks. Haya, come sponsor Kung Fu Pizza Party. I think we can make an agreement that'll be beneficial to both of us. Maybe mostly me, but beneficial somehow to you as well. I also saw on streaming that this movie is going to be available on Pluto and Roku within the next week. I think actually like next Tuesday, this movie will be available on other platforms as well. It is, at least the one on Tubi was subtitled. So if you're like me and you have terrible eyesight, just be ready to lock in and read some words. And yeah, I would definitely watch it again. And I would absolutely buy a copy of this movie. It was just, it was so fun. But I think that'll do it for today's episode. So once again, happy Lunar New Year to you all. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcasts. Pass this episode along to a friend. And check out the other great shows here on the Anazal Ministries Podcast Network, like all of our brand new shows, Page and Pixel, where one week Page explains a book to Pixel, and the next week Pixel explains a video game to Page. It's fun listening to them not know what the other one is talking about. We also have Theology on the Rocks now, which is a show where the hosts sit down with a good drink and talk all things theology and philosophy, plus Your Matter Matters, a faith and science show. And then, of course, there's my sister show, My Seminary Life, just started or will be starting. Yeah, we'll be starting this week a Lent-themed series called My Seminary Life Presents Fish Fridays, the musical. Every week there's going to be a different song that I... Did you all hear Claire laugh in the background? Or did you hear producer Cooper pushing a shopping cart around? I don't know how that is helping the audio for this episode, but who am I to question the producer? Anyway, the... there he goes. Each week on Fish Fridays, the musical, I will be sitting down talking about a different song that I think kind of touches on the spirituality and themes and posture of the Lent season. So if you need a little extra devotional time during your Lent season, check that one out as well. You can follow the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party and on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY. And, you know, help me up the rating of this movie. Make an account if you haven't yet, follow the show, and then watch and review this movie so we can, like, boost the numbers. We'll review bomb it in the positive direction. I don't know what that is. If I know what review bombing is supposed to be, I don't know what positive review bombing is. Is there such a thing? I don't know. And you can check out my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. There's going to be a fun video coming out here pretty soon on the channel. Last month, I did an episode talking about survival horror video games, kind of my take as a martial artist on how you could actually prepare for these situations. And I got some game footage for you to watch. So, go check that out on the YouTube channel. And that's it for me. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time. And ride on, folks. Ride on strongly into this new year of the horse. I wonder if I'll be able to find a Jackie Chan movie for next year. I think it's the year of the goat. Is there a goat Jackie Chan movie? I don't know.